Good evening. Current time is 6:01. Today's date is February 23rd, 2016. This is a regular board meeting of the Fountain View Independent School District. Sonia, can you please call roll?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Rizzi.
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Here.
Mr. Medina.
Present.
Mrs. Quintana.
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Present.
Mrs. Searles.
Here.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Ms. Iglesias had a personal matter she had to attend to today, so she won't be here.
Item C, Pledge of Allegiance.
And some kids. Let's go high school, elementary, middle. Come on, don't be shy.
Everybody knows it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, please.
Thank you. Ms. Rose, can you read the mission statement and Ms. Gonzalez the vision, please?
Happily.
Thank you.
So, CAMU-TO Independent School District's purpose is to provide high-quality educational experiences that will inspire and prepare all students to apply the knowledge and skills necessary to become effective leaders and productive citizens.
The vision statement. Fountain View ISD is the premier school district with nationally ranked multi-literate graduates ready to excel in college, their careers, their community, and in life.
Item number two, Board Honors, Mr. Leon, A, recognition of sweepstakes and grand prize winners from both the primary and secondary categories from the Fountain View ISD District Science Fair held on February the 6th, 2016.
Good evening, Board President Fritzi, members of the board, Dr. Galvis. Be filling in as your MC tonight. If you can please join us in front of the dais, that way we can read out this week's Board Honors. Each year, CAMU-TO ISD hosts a district-wide science fair to give students across all of our elementary and middle schools a chance to showcase their innovative experiments and to compete at the highest level against their peers. This effort is a result of the tremendous efforts of the Curriculum and Instruction Department in partnership with the campus and administrators and educators, together with dozens of staff, students, and members of our community who voluntarily serve as judges. Therefore, it gives us great pleasure to introduce each of the sweepstakes and grand prize winners to you tonight. As each winner is announced, we invite each student and his or her family to the front of the room to receive your certificate and shake hands with the Board of Trustees. And if you can stay up front, we'll take a group picture once everyone's announced. So with that, let's begin with the elementary students. In the third grade division, this year's sweepstakes winner is John Martinez from Jose Damian Elementary for his project entitled Do Certain Colors Absorb More Heat? Congratulations.
Thank you.
In the fourth grade division, this year's sweepstakes winner is Jacqueline Juarez from Jose Damiano Elementary. Her experiment was titled, Which Colors Will Be Good for Cold and Hot? In the fifth grade division, this year's sweepstakes winner is Isis Gonzalez from Deanna Davenport Elementary for her project entitled Plants, Soil, and Erosion. Grand Prize winner in the primary school division of the 2016 Canutillo ISD Science Fair goes to Atiana Mondragon from Garcia Elementary School for her project entitled For sweepstakes winners, both of whom are from Canutillo Middle School. Therefore, we will announce the winners in alphabetical order. The first sweepstakes winner goes to Sophia Cruz for her project entitled Compost. I don't think Sophia is with us tonight, so we'll go to the second sweepstakes winner in the secondary division, and that goes to Alyssa Garcia for her project entitled Evaporation Rates of Liquids. Now we'll move on to the grand prize winner in the secondary school division of the 2016 Canutillo ISD District Science Fair, and that goes to Sofia Montenegro from Canutillo Middle School for her project entitled Which Will Make a Better Lava Lamp. I'd like to extend to all of our participants our deepest appreciation for the efforts of everyone involved, especially the students and parents who invested many hours of thought and creativity in each of the projects in this year's competition.
To be recognition of Isael Garcia, CES fourth grader who won honorable mention at the 2015 EPCC Salute to the Arts Student Art Competition.
Last fall, the El Paso Community College hosted the 14th annual K-12 art exhibit as part of the EPCC Salute to the Arts initiative. The objective of EPCC's art competition is twofold. One, give students across El Paso a chance to showcase their creative talents, and two, support educational achievement and college enrollment in our community. All of the submissions were then displayed at the EPCC Administrative Services Center on Viacount for 4 weeks. We are proud to announce that Israel Becerril, a fourth grader at Canutillo Elementary School, earned one of two honorable mentions in his category for his piece entitled The Alamo. Tonight we would like to commend Israel for his creative talents with a certificate of recognition for being such a great ambassador of his campus community. Israel?
Item 2C, recognition of CISD counselors in conjunction with National School Counselors Week, celebrated the first week of February.
Each year, the American School Counselors Association celebrates National School Counseling Week the first week of February. This year's theme was entitled School Counseling, the Recipe for Success, to focus public attention on the unique contribution of school counselors within the U.S. school system. Now, as we all know, school counselors make a tremendous impact on helping students achieve school success and plan for a career. That is why it gives us great pleasure to recognize each of our school counselors across all of our campuses tonight. Therefore, we'll recognize our counselors in alphabetical order from their campus. First off, from Alderete Middle School, please welcome the Anita Fronce and Manuela Halad. Children's Elementary School, please welcome Monica Barraza.
Thank you.
From Canutillo Elementary School, please welcome Cynthia Cavazos Ramirez. High School, please welcome Loretta Michelle Barón, Maria Guadalupe Villarreal, Megan Flores, and Nicole Morales. Canutillo Middle School, please welcome Carolina Cruz and Monica Prieto. From the Career and Technology Education Program, please welcome Amanda Blake. Alternative Education Program, please welcome Lucero Duarte Hernandez. From the Deanna Davenport Elementary. Please welcome Martin Velasco Arroyos. From Garcia Elementary, please welcome Martha Bueno. From Jose Damian Elementary, please welcome Cynthia Arteaga. From Northwest Early College High School, please welcome Jaime Mercado. And from Reyes Elementary School, please welcome Michelle Escobedo. Congratulations to all our counselors. Now, can we get one big group photo?
Nobody wants to go.
Israel Desiril, he was the student who participated in the PCC's annual art contest. So without further ado, we'd like to bring him up. Nice big smiles.
Thank you. Thank you.
Item 2D, recognition of Jennifer San Maniero for finishing in first place in the Burgess High School preview tournament held February the 10th, 2016.
Our final recognition tonight goes to Canutillo High School sophomore Jennifer San Maniero for finishing in first place in the Burgess High School preview tournament earlier this month. Ms. Samaniego started playing golf at the tender age of 5 and has steadily improved her game under CHS golf coach Tim Parker. Besides golf, Ms. Samaniego is also involved in ROTC, BPA, and HOSA and is earning high marks in her academic studies. She is a true eagle and makes us proud. Congratulations.
Signed up to speak during this part of the agenda. And the first speakers are Isaac Hernandez, Jacqueline Chassez, and Tristan Hernandez from Camarillo High School.
Must cross to get to their homes. The intersection is busy with constant flow of traffic, therefore causing a problem of a student being hit to become apparent. As you can see on the maps given, the red circle represents where the crosswalk will be placed, and the yellow one will represent where we would want the gate to be placed on the fence.
The reason this became a problem was because last year, one of our fellow FCCLA members was almost hit by a car while walking to their home. What actually takes someone getting hit for us to take action? That's why we're advocating for the use of a crosswalk to be put in effect along with the door and the gate and a possible light pole directing traffic. And if not, someone there to monitor.
We've already met with the safety and security coordinator, Mr. Carrillo, and informed him about the need of the crosswalk.
There has already been multiple accidents documented because there is no crosswalk available.
We did research in all of Texas and we found a couple of facts that caught our eye. Texas is ranked as the 10th most dangerous state for walking commuters, and 15% of all traffic fatalities are caused by people on foot. Texas averages about 500 pedestrian deaths a year, and in the span of 5 years, there's been 4,200 fatalities in Texas.
We hope you take our idea into consideration. Do you have any questions you would like to ask? If not, that concludes our presentation. Thank you.
Our second speaker is Maria Reina Salcido.
Good evening, Board President, Ritzy, Board members. I'm here to express my gratitude and my joy for the opportunity you have granted me to be the principal of Beale Children's Elementary School. I have completed my first week completely. I've already met with the parents. I've had our parent principal with a coffee with the principal. It was a very enlightening meeting that I had with them. I am very, very pleased to represent, you know, and to be a part of that campus and that family. And thank you. Thank you.
Good evening, Board President, Board of Trustees, Dr. Galavis. I'm here today as a taxpayer and member of the District Steering Committee and as a past member of CBAC. The district previously conducted an online survey to community members and through a first community dialogue meeting held at the high school. In that survey, we were given an overwhelming amount of information, but one that stood out, and especially today after looking at the agenda, was a question that read, should the options consider selling approximately 90 acres of unused land to help fund facility needs? And for the benefit of the members here tonight, the steering committee is looking at underutilized facilities, overutilized facilities, and how we can plan for the next 5 years in utilizing our facilities as best we can. The responses to that question were, these were the responses from various members. Definitely, absolutely sell the land. No, it could be used for a park. There was one no. Yes, 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 absolutely, no question. Yes, do not buy any more property. Sell. During the steering committee, it was explained that an approximate total needed for the next 5 years projected plan to recondition or fix facilities, the total is about $70.5 million. But here we are again with an agenda item under executive session with a possible potential acquisition of real property. Really? Don't you listen? We're not in the real estate property, and this is not the first time you've heard me say this. We're in the education business. It's time, and it's way overdue, that you implement your duties as constituents of this community and stop purchasing unnecessary real estate property that will just sit there unused. We presently have an overutilized campuses and underutilized campuses. You need to start looking at the interest of our students versus the interest of yourselves and your friends, retired or otherwise, that are trying to get rid of their property, their vacant property. And with that being said, you have another agenda item that says, discussion regarding the possible sale of an 8-acre parcel of land adjacent to Garcia Elementary School. This is misleading, as is this flyer. Why? Because community members thought that the district already owned this property and you were going to sell it. We'll come to find out that you're looking at buying it. So I say no, don't buy it. Community members that responded to the survey said, no, don't buy it. You just heard our high school students say there are more important needs like safety, their safety, versus buying real estate property. So again, I say, listen and stop buying property. We're not in the real estate property business. We're in the educating business. Thank you.
Our final speaker, Madam President, is Annette Brigham.
Good evening, Board President and Board of Trustees, Dr. Galavis. First of all, I want to come up here and say thank you. I got a wonderful thing for my admin assistant, and it said, a career where passion and dedication to what you love to do is not a job. And I've had the absolute ability to have a career with that passion for the past 28 years. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you all as individuals. I know I have had more than my share agreeing or disagreeing with you. But at least you can say I did it passionately, and always with the kids in mind. And I'm here to stay. I'm here to stay in the community. I chose to live here. My grandkids go to school here. So I'm going to be here. What I'd like to see is more of a bridge between the Board of Trustees and the administration. I've been up here for 7 years, and when I left here 15, 20 years ago, I vowed never to come back to central office, and then I came back. And I came back because I knew there was stuff we had to do, and I knew there were some difficult decisions to make, and I know you have difficult decisions that you're going to be making. But what I noticed mainly is we have to build a bridge together. There is definitely a lack of confidence with the Board of Trustees and the administration. I really don't understand it. We have decades of experience. Never anything that I present to you didn't think it was the information I gave you was correct. And if it wasn't correct, I'd tell you. But we do have a lack of confidence. And it's felt. And it's not only felt, it's felt here with the principals, it's felt with every director. I had the extreme pleasure of having my successor walk with me to the principals, to the schools, and let them see what was going on. She was so impressed. First thing she said is, how come you have so many new principals? How come you have so many new directors? Why is everybody new here? I said, we're going to flex. We have to stop the flex, and we have to work together. And I think you can. I think you have some really good people. We have some good people, dedicated people that are sitting up there at the dais that have been here for many, many years. But we have to bridge and make it work together. I know that facilities plan is a bone in your side. I know it is. It's a little bit of a bone in mine, too. In 2012, I sent a memo to the board. I found it when I was cleaning out my office, saying that Canyon Hill Middle School was at 54%, AMS was at 54% capacity, and that CMS was at 52% capacity. We also put down what the other schools were, and this was before Reyes was built. So yes, but we had to have somebody else come in and give us their opinion, which I'm glad they have, because now we see it in front of us. So we're going to have very difficult and unpopular decisions to make, but you have to make them for the good of the district, for the longevity of the district, and the fiscal well-being of the district. We have to worry about sustainability. We have 6,000 children. We have 900 employees. We cannot build land moats. We have to purchase land with a dedicated, purposeful intent. We have to look at the benefits that we give our employees. You work so hard. I know you do. They don't know. People do not know the hours that you spend here. We do. Your administration does, because we're spending the hours with you. Please listen to the committees, you know, the committee that is for the facilities plan and the committee for the health benefits. No one on those committees are doing it because we get anything out of it. We get a lot of negative press out of it. The only way to get off that committee is to die or to retire. I chose to retire. But the thing is, they have a lot of good people there. We have no special interests into it. We're only trying to do what's good for the district, what's good for the 900 employees. But we have to do it together. We have to work as a board. We have to work as administration. It can't just be, we're not voting for this because we don't like the person presented it. Or we can't not vote for it because somebody else has a different decision. The other thing is oversight, yes, that is your job. It's your job to oversee and to work, but it's not to micromanage. We need to build this trust back and build that bridge together. We have, you know, your job is difficult. You have to, sorry, but you hire and fire the superintendent, the auditor. You set policy. You set the budget. You do, you know, you purchase land. Those are your main goals. But we have to do all those with purpose and intent. And we have to work together. But when people look at me and they'll say, why is the district doing this? Or why is the district? I always was your champion. I was always your cheerleader. Because we work hard. We have very dedicated principals who are a big gunshy now. We have to stop. There's not one of you sitting at the board that I know got a personal thing out of this. But we do have to take away personal agendas and look at what's good for the district. We have good people. You're part of us. Most of us, 66% of our employees live here. They choose to live here. So with that said, listen to that. I'm not here to cast stones at all. I'm here to thank you. I know you do some difficult things, but so do the administrators. And they work hard. And when I see them picked apart, or when a plan comes up and says, okay, we'll give a pay raise here, but we're not going to give it here, and the things like that, it erodes morale. This place is no one without you, no place without the principals either. And the kids matter. And that's what I want to make sure you do. So I want to thank you again. As I ride off into the sunset, literally, to the west, and wish you nothing but good luck. But the people that sit against the wall there are the ones that are here. They'll be here in the morning. They'll be here when the pipes freeze. They'll be here when you know, the gas is shut off or there's a gas leak, we'll be there when our families need us and we have a call up that we get, make sure that we get food to the people that need it. You know that's what we do here in Canada. We take care of our own. So I'm asking you to take care of your own. Take care of each other and take care of the administration too, and the principals. We're not the enemy. We're the ones that we want to build the bridge together and work together. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck, because I've had a heck of a ride. So I appreciate all of you, and thank you very much.
Business, a overview of Policy Instruction Personnel Student Services Committee meeting of February the 8th, 2016. Mr. Rodriguez.
I'm sorry, Sonia. We're going to move up item it's new business C. Ms. Popsell. The reason being is she's going to attend the playoff game for the basketball team. So we're going to move up that item with the consent of the board.
Hopefully we can soon.
Okay. Can you periscope
that? C, Shirley, discussion regarding the Nunfield High School cheerleading program. This pops out.
Madam Chair, could I make a little comment? I happen to, at different times, travel to San Antonio. And Ms. Clapsaddle, there's a nice young man there named Mark who knows you. And every time my suitcase passes through, he tells me to tell you hello. He said you taught him in middle school. So you made a really, really major impression on this young man.
I was probably really mean to him.
I asked him if you were.
No, I probably, no.
And he said no, you were very nice.
Please tell him I said hello back. Oh my
God. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, President Fritzi, Dr. Galavis, and board members. And I'll wait till. Thank you.
Everybody left Worcester.
I am coming to answer any questions and to offer some updates and information. As of yesterday, I did receive the letter of resignation for Ms. Angie Summers as the cheer sponsor at Canyon Teal High School. So we currently, at this time, Ms. Jackie Sumiga is assisting with the cheerleaders until a permanent decision is made. So I do have that letter of resignation here. We did have our audit, and the audit came out in a very positive light. I believe we were off just in our ledgers by about $40, and we were able to reconcile that. We did need to clean up some procedural things as far as how we kept track of monies coming in, receipts, and you know, one sponsor had one way, one sponsor had another way, and just to make it more uniform and to make sure that everybody's following the proper procedures. So we are taking those that course of action to make sure that we're all on the same page so that whoever the next cheerleading sponsor is, that person can come in and those procedures are already in place. So our girls are at the playoff game right now. They just sent me a picture. They look lovely. And so we're very excited about that. But I am here to answer any questions that you might have or to clarify any issues or concerns that you might have.
Actually, Ms. Potsdale, we also needed an update on the 2016-2017 UIL, there was going to be some kind of changes. Did you get any information on
that? I did look over that. One of the biggest things that was asked was whether or not under the new UIL regulation of with the cheerleaders, if there had to be a mandatory cheer class built into the master schedule. And the answer to that question was no.
We did call down to Austin, and Coach Brooks helped me with that information. So at this time, it's not going to be built into our first through eighth period schedule, but if that is a possibility that we, once we get our cheer sponsor in place, we might be able to offer it as a ninth period after the regular day, so that the students can possibly, our cheerleaders could possibly get that, use that as a credit. Now, UIL did, under the new regulations, they do offer a cheer competition. It was an option this year. It took place in late January. We did not participate, and it is actually just a cheer competition. It's not a stunt or any type of tumbling or anything like that competition. We did not participate in that this year, but hopefully it was an option that was set out this year. It's something new that UIL was trying, because a lot of times our cheer squads were going to these bigger national type competitions at the state level and the national level and things like that. But there were a lot of squads that weren't, so they were trying to provide this as opportunity for all the squads to be able to participate in that. And I think they're looking at their numbers and how well that went. That was the success of that, and that hasn't been released yet. We did also call some other schools to find out how they set up their sponsors and how they if they have classes. There are some high schools that actually do build the classes into the master schedule. There are some that have them after, but all of those are run by the sponsor, and usually it's a teacher, a certified teacher on campus. So because it is at times difficult to find a sponsor, if we do it at the ninth period, then we have a little more flexibility if we can't find somebody on campus. If we have to look at somebody off campus or on a contracted service, then that could be accommodated.
Go ahead, Mr. Medina.
As I'm reading the overview of the Spirit program and the Spirit Championship, it sounds like now the TDA, UIL, is requiring no pass, no play. It's requiring concussion training. It's requiring eligibility requirements. Is there any requirement for school districts or even the state to fund the cheerleading program?
No, that has not. That was one of the issues, actually, that I asked about as well, because I know that we have not, that is some, this is a funded by, the parents buy the uniforms and the parents buy I know we have a very active and a very supportive booster club. I know Ms. Claudia has at times has come to me and said, Ms. Claudia, we raise money, we're buying the pink socks, or we're buying pink pom-poms for the girls, or we're going to be doing, just adorable. They are very, very supportive of our girls, and I'm very appreciative of all the hard work that they do, coming and doing concessions and everything that they work very hard to support our girls. I actually could not find if we are going to have to fund that, because that's actually a question that Coach Brooks even asked me. Well, now that we're under UIL, because all of our sports as a district, we provide some degree of funding for that. So are we going to do that, or are we not going to do that? And I told Scott, I said, I don't know. I would think that would be a decision that would come from here. From Ms. probably speaking with Ms. Omigai and with the board as well.
So there's no state requirement?
Not that I'm aware of, but we are looking.
So, because it just seems unfair.
I agree.
That we're requiring all this, and every other sport does have to fundraise, and the football program does fundraise on its own for specific things,
yes.
But they still have an underlying budget. So
exactly.
That's kind of where I'm confused how the UIL can dictate these terms without funding it.
Well, and I agree, because the majority, not all, of course, there are squads, even in El Paso, that do have gentlemen that are on their squads. But the majority, I think it's fair to say, are female. So for me, my question was, would that be a violation of Title IX? And making sure that we are offering the same equal to the cheerleading squad, which predominantly would be girls, but that also fall under that regulation. So I definitely, that was something that we could not find the answer to, but we will definitely be looking into that, because we need to find the answer.
If anything, just because we're in the budget cycle now,
exactly.
We need to make sure that if we're going to do it, we're going to know now, because from what I understand, the cost on the parents is pretty significant.
It is. It is very
significant. They fund it completely versus football. I've got nothing against football, but they have an underlying budget. They have a base to work with.
Exactly.
And it is a character builder for the kids. I just wonder how much character can we build into the cheerleaders when they're buying for everything.
It's just, exactly.
And really the burden that the parents are now harnessing on their backs is just too much.
Exactly.
If you could find out exactly
yes.
Title IX specifically, because I didn't even think about that.
Yes, Coach Brooks and I will look into that and we'll get an answer to you as soon as possible. You're welcome.
That's the only questions I had.
Okay, and that was what Mr. Medina had addressed is we needed to know as far as what was going to be our end of our responsibility.
Correct.
And my next question to you is how are we going to ensure that the girls do get a sponsor for next year? What are your plans for that? I know it's kind of, it just happened yesterday.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead, Dr.
I think it's just all like it is that the cheer season this cheer was not a good season for cheerleaders. It was mandated by, coach here, coach tomorrow, parent would complain, and we'd have to address the coach, and it's a very scrutinized position, so finding a sponsor is difficult. So I think what we'd like to do, Madam President, is develop a plan along with the parents so we're all on the same page. Because again, and I'm sorry, girls. I really am. I apologize to you and your parents. I know there's a lot of not only time but money and a lot of energy invested into our girls to ensure that again that they are the spirit. Every time I go to an event, and just like Doug Lai is about to hear some of the loudest cheerleaders in the region or the state. So we owe it to the board, but we also owe it to the girls and the parents to come up with a good plan. I know. I was accused today by the captain of the cheerleading that I haven't talked to her about her what she wanted and I need to do that. We need to go and talk to the cheerleading squad and the parents and find you a viable sponsor and find you a viable time because we would love to have it in period in the school day, just like the other sports. But it all, what Ms. Clausen was saying, it depends. It depends on the sponsor, it depends on, and we had a rough road this year. Again, I'd like to apologize on behalf of me as your superintendent, because I want to provide you that optimal cheering environment, if you will. Because again, we're not ready for competition this summer, so the season was a loss. So again, we'll come back and develop a plan along with Scott Brooks, Coach Brooks, since it's under UIL, and we'll look into the budget as far as making sure that girls have something to play with as far as expenses. And
I think most importantly that our parents are involved and that the girls are number one priority and that the parents actually are able to speak. I don't know as far as what is your plan is to get another coach. So just mostly that they're involved in the decision making and most importantly that you, Ms. Clausettle, are comfortable working with that person because you are essentially going to have to supervise them.
Correct.
Yes. Go ahead.
It just only stands to reason also. What's a football team without cheerleaders?
Absolutely.
What's a basketball team without cheerleaders? It's not. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's one of us in the room that, didn't have some really great excitement coming from it, from cheerleaders. That's what they are.
I married my cheerleaders. So.
Thank you for marrying that. They're a really important part of the spirit that goes with each and every team at each and every campus. And I think what I'm hearing tonight is we can do a better job, and we will. Mm-hmm. And they deserve. They deserve, full time too. Yeah,
absolutely, and I it makes me very sad. Anytime I get somebody new on my campus, I just got a new nurse, and she told me, what is your number one priority? And I told her, you be good to my kids. Mm-hmm. It's because they're mine. And she asked me, do your kids go here? I said, yes, all 1,655 of them don't mind. Amazing. And she started laughing. I said, but they're all mine. They're mine. I'm their principal. They're my children. And it's very important for me that all of them have a good experience in the high school, doing whatever it is that they love, cheerleading, football, track, golf, CTE, whatever, you know, just coming to school and, you know, and then going home. If that's what makes them happy, then that's what they need to do. They need to have a positive experience with the high school. And I can tell you, I'm sorry.
I was going to ask a question. Or were you done, Ms. Rush?
Yes.
No. So, you know, it is my priority as well to make sure that this program gets moving. It's frustrating to me. I'm not going to lie. I'm very frustrated with how it's gone. I've been here a year. We've had four sponsors.
And every day in a child's life is so, I mean, in all of our lives, but in kids,
exactly.
I mean, you just have that little short period
exactly.
to get to be a kid and have a great time.
Absolutely.
We got to make every day count.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, doing what's going to be best for our girls and the whole team as a whole, looking at them as a whole and doing what's best for them. But Miss Jackie also challenged me today, and she's like, you haven't talked to me. I said, I'm listening. And she was very eloquent and very articulate. She even missed the game tonight because she didn't know she would need to speak. She's like, will you stand by me, please? I said, well, if you need to speak, I will stand right next to you because I'm going to support them. And we're going to get them what they need and get them refocused and back to where they need to be.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Constantle.
Thank you, Ms.
Ripley.
Yes, ma'am.
I guess my question is, what was the intent of this agenda item?
Well, the intention of this agenda item is for her to give us an update on the UIL rules and how it changed, and then also the fact that the girls, we had been told before that the girls were going to be able to go to competition, do several things because parents had complained before, and we're still at the point to where the girls have just been practicing all season long. So.
And
that
so
was the intent of the,
yeah, the UIL rule
but
really
UIL
changed.
Rule was the most was the intent of the agenda.
That's all I have.
I know that someone mentioned that you need to work closely with this person, and I like that. But you also need to work closely with HR because there's always issues that come up.
Yes, ma'am. With certification and being a teacher of record. Absolutely.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Ma'am.
I would appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you, Ms.
Klapsella. Thank you, Ms. Klapsella.
Thank you.
Enjoy the game.
Thanks.
Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
Next agenda item.
Okay, we're going to go back to four, Board of Trustee Business. Overview
yes.
of Policy, Instruction, Personnel, Student Services Committee meeting of February the 8th, 2016. Mr. Rodriguez.
And the minutes are attached. If there's any questions, feel free. If not, they'll be submitted.
Any questions?
Any questions? Next agenda item.
Item B, overview of IAS Audit Facilities Planning Committee meeting of February the 10th, 2016. Ms. Servals.
So we had a really robust, good meeting, and a lot of it was about our new food service, which was very enlightening. We expressed different opinions on how to make it better, how to make it more appealing, how to get our kids to eat better at breakfast also. So I think that we came up with a lot of really good thoughts, a lot of good brainstorming, and hopefully it will end up in a, you know, an overflow to the district and to our children being fed really awesome meals that they'll be happy to eat. And the smoothies, yes. Everybody loves the smoothies. So we also talked about our normal, just regular discussions of the financials, the warrant list, the budget amendments, the donations. It's really amazing how many wonderful donations we get, and thank you, Dr. Galavis, for making sure all these donors get a thank you note. We appreciate that as well. We began our budget process, and it went well. It was a good beginning. We discussed our investments, and it looks like some, you know, the interest rates just aren't there, but what if, you know, they're not there for anybody. So it is. We also talked about the different items that will be on tonight's meeting, and I believe that all of them were recommended to the board after we listened and took consideration as a committee on them. So With that, the minutes were approved by myself, and they are there if anybody would like to read the rest of them. Thank you very much, Ms. Ross.
Thank you, Ms. Ross. Next agenda item,
Item C, discussion regarding the possible sale of an 8-acre parcel of land adjacent to Garcia Elementary School by CBD Properties LLC that may serve as a County Housing Authority low-income development.
Ms. Ross, go ahead.
Yes. So the reason this is on the agenda tonight is transparency in our district. We got a letter, and I don't know if anybody's read the letter, but it's a very in-your-face letter that the current landowner of 8 acres that's adjacent to the western, the eastern boundary of Garcia, and I can read the letter. It was to Dr. Galabese. Dear Dr. Galabese, as a member manager of the above reference entity and a holding company for the 8-acre parcel that is adjacent to your school, Gonzalo and Sofia Garcia Elementary School, I'd like to provide you with the following. The members of the CBD Properties have been approached by a group to purchase the 8-acre parcel and develop it into a low-income or subsidized apartment complex that would serve as a County Housing Authority low-income development. They would be utilizing tax credits and or EPC Housing Authority voucher programs. Our proposed plan, if we develop the property ourselves, is in line with their thoughts. We're also considering subdividing the property into small lots for 20 to 22 duplex homes as rentals to serve low-income families. My members are driven to turn this property into an income generator this coming year. I understand that the district now owns the surrounding property, and I feel our plans may not be in line with your master plan for your property. Please let me know if you have any interest in the property before we commit to the sale or sign the development agreement. Our deadline to respond to the buyers is March the 1st, 2016 at 4 p.m., at which point their earnest money would go hard and it'd be difficult to back out from the sale. Dr. Galabese, if you have any questions or would like to discuss this further, please contact me. This is the kind of thing that our community needs to hear about and not be kept under wraps just as a board. And so that's why it was brought before the board this evening. I think it's very, very important that we don't forget that we have campuses, that we are family, and that we should discuss the different prospects of moving into our district. So this is why it's before the board this evening. And this was sincerely from Al Loya, who is AIACNUA member manager of this group. So with that said, I don't know how many people, there's not a whole lot of people here, so I really don't know what kind of impact that had on the campus, on the surrounding community members, but I believe that it needed to be brought forward and at least, you know, brought to the table to be discussed, that we need to be in step as we have been in the past with development in our community.
Questions? Dr. Galabese?
Yes.
This property, it's eight acres. They literally have to provide some sort of utilities and all this, you know, interesting development for it. Is it something that is even zoned? I mean, is there zoning on that? Are you aware of that?
It's owned by the, there's a zone for it. I don't know what the zone is.
It's actually across the city line. It's in the county, so there's no municipal.
It's part of the ETJ, so wouldn't it be?
It is, but the regulations are not as stringent when it comes to county property. A similar property within city limits, slightly smaller, at about 7.5 acres. Which across the street in Arncraft has about 160 units. And that's the apartment complex across the street. Similar property size.
And that's low income?
I'm not sure on the income levels on that, but similar property size, similar endeavor, it might yield the same units.
I guess more than anything, I was under the impression that most of the county housing authority developments would be close to transportation, close to stores. This property is way out in the middle of nowhere. I really don't see how they can do this, but, you know, it's not that we're going to go buy it, but I'm just curious as to how they're actually going to be able to do this.
And I haven't researched this property pending tonight's meeting, but I can reach out to the El Paso County Housing Authority and see what their requirements are, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to the type of tax credits that this developer is talking about.
That's all questions.
Any other comments, questions on this item?
I would. In the fair transparency, one of the concerns I had was, I guess, I want to know the process in regards to my understanding, and I think some of my family members got this as well, and it showed up in the app that showed. So I would, in the fair transparency to the superintendent, what was the process or why did we send this out? We haven't done this for other...
No, and I agree, sir, and the reason why we did it is because, you know, Carolina doesn't have a formal government. And the school board, at most times, acts as the government and for the people. And so the reason, again, as Ms. Searles was talking about, the transparency, he wanted an answer by March 1st. It was in your board packet. And so Trustee Searles reached out to me, talked to the attorney, which we have emailed, saying, hey, we'd like to let the community know, the Garcia community know, hey, this is coming. Whether it's a tower, whether whatever it is, this is coming. And that's all. And see who would come to the school board and talk, or against, I don't know. But again, it was just to give people a voice.
I guess.
That was the intention.
So the concern I have is there's several items that I would feel need to go out to the public. And I understood there was also a phone call. So do I have that ability to go to you and request that information? To be provided to the community?
I think it depends. I mean, again, I sought to meet with council to make sure we were within the parameters of the governing body, and it was in your board book. And looking for direction, and Searles gave again, head of the facility planning committee, and again, I did tell the board president what was going to happen, and so we went for it. And again, it was to reach out to the community and let them know what was happening at the El Garcia.
And also with the thought in mind that Garcia is a pretty populated school, and that is going to significantly impact the population of the school to put all those homes right there. So that's, you know, that's a big matter too. That we always need to, you know, these people sent us a letter with a deadline of 4 o'clock on March the 1st. We've never had, ever had a letter like this sent to the board with a deadline that do something or else. So it just seemed like the prudent thing to let the community know that there was a deadline of an or else sort of thing. So.
Ms. Searles, is there a reason why you did not put that on your committee meeting?
Yes, because if you look at the date of the letter, we didn't get it till afterwards. I would have definitely done that, Mr. Rodriguez, so we could all sat around and, you know, talked about it differently. No, the letter was very, I can't remember the date we got it, but it's dated, I want to say the 3rd of February.
My understanding.
And I don't think it came to the board till like the maybe 12th or later.
I believe it was in that Thursday packet. I guess my concern is, are we setting the precedence? And I guess you were going to look at opening that up to the public, my understanding. And I guess we should hear from the public, but mm-hmm. the fact is that it's private property rights in regards to
it is. But they offered us, you know, or maybe not offered is the right word, they gave us an ultimatum, sort of, and it seemed like something that we ought to talk about. And ultimately, it would have been much better to at a committee meeting, but it just didn't happen that way. You know, that the letter did not present itself in a timely manner. It's not like they said, we're going to do this maybe in May, and y'all can talk about it a little bit, let us know how you feel about it, get together, as other developers have done with us. This was not presented like that. It's on a very short timeline and a short string.
More so, I'd just like to go on the record that I think we're already engaging the community with our facilities master plan, and with their input, I think we're going to have a roadmap sort of to the future. And really, with their input, I mean, they're spending quite a bit of time. I think they're spending 7 days or 7 nights out of their time, and it's volunteer completely. So they were already reaching out to the community. You're right, this came out of nowhere. But what I don't appreciate is the ultimatum portion of it. I typically, when somebody tells me, hey, I want you to do this by this time, that pretty much tells me I'm not going to answer to it. There's nothing I can really do about it because you've already set your mind in motion. You've given me an ultimatum, but I think they're trying to get us to buy it. And honestly, without a roadmap and a plan, I don't feel comfortable, you know, even discussing the purchase of any further property until we finish with our facilities master plan. And more so, just to alleviate the community's, you know, thought process right now, is there is no thought in buying any land because we have 131 acres that's being unused. And I just don't think having an ultimatum presented that actually will open the door up to other people to say, okay, I'm going to put county housing, you know, they're going to start doing this so we can start buying everything. I don't like the precedent that sends out and sort of the impression that you just got to threaten them once and they'll open up the pocketbook. So I think we need to tread lightly, but if they're going to build it, I think they're going to have a heck of a time because there's been a lot of investment by developers around the area, and I really don't know if that's going to fruition. I think it's early stages, and quite the county housing authority to put something there, it doesn't seem right. It's too far away from transportation, from medical, from services, and it doesn't sound right. That's kind of why I'm kind of hesitant to take it seriously, especially with an ultimatum like that. That's not how you do business.
I realize that. That's why I brought it. Yeah. I thought that we needed to discuss it because it isn't how business has ever been done with us before.
And I think we did. I don't know, Ms. Fritzy, did we respond? Or we haven't responded at all.
And I do agree with Mr. Medina. It is far away. I think the closest any kind of housing anything we have is in Anthony, Texas, if I'm not mistaken. And it is pretty far, especially if there isn't any public transportation. Utilities, some of those homes around there still don't have natural gas, don't have water utilities down the street going towards. So I think it would take a lot for them. It would take a lot of money for them to be able to do it. And the Housing Authority rarely opens. And from what I understand, these homes would be what's called Section 8, to where a developer is going to put up these homes and the Housing Authority is going to be able to pay a portion of that rent. But and that's what I understand from the letter.
Mr. Leonstone? Mm-hmm. You can ask him, or at least reach out to the County Housing Authority and say, is this even possible? You know, can we call sort of their bluff? Because that's what it looks like for a developer, at least. And Mr. Loy has not been a...
And we all know how much the Housing Authority is hurting for money right now. They're not going to open their, per se, where you can apply for anything. I think it's February 23rd today till March 22nd, and it's only going to be for people with disabilities that have a one bedroom, and it's not going to be for families. So,
I'd be happy to reach out to them and see what the parameters are for any funding they might offer.
Or funding or just any plans. I mean, would make sense.
Yeah, their plans.
As their plans this to it, or are they just exactly what Mr. Medina is saying? Seeing if we.
Yeah, if they're using their letter for leverage. Just in quickly researching it, it is outside the city limits, but it's within the Plan El Paso designation of O3 agriculture. So it does allow for some development out there, but the recommends pretty
not stringent, but a different type of development to preserve open space.
Yes, it is.
It is. And, you know, I guess we as the board need to decide, too. Do we respond? Or not we particularly, but do we ask Dr. Galavis to respond to this? Or do we just move forward? And
I'm actually more just deeply concerned as to Mr. Loya's tactic. If this is the first time that he's tried this, if he's going to try it again. Mr. Loya has not been a, you know, I'll stop right there because of other issues. But I really think that he may be trying strong arms. And this letter just screams of that because it's either 22 small homes or an apartment building in a farm field. Doesn't make sense. So if you could find the information for us and at least see if we can get Dr. Galavis to have a, you know, some talking points. I mean, what do you think? Is that something that we can at least get some info before we reach back and say it's just not going to happen?
Well, we won't even meet again before March
1st. Oh, no, I know. We just instructed Dr. Galavis to have a conversation.
That's my thought on that. And
yeah, that March 1st thing, I think that's just
I really don't think that.
I think I'll agree with Adrian. I think it is bluff. And I think that the problem I have, I don't have a problem putting an agenda item so we can discuss it and then respond to it, but going to the community and doing, you know, on the app and stuff like that. And the other thing is, you know, we can't, whether it's low income or high income, we can't, you know, it's a private property right issue, and whether it's this developer or other developers, we have to be careful because, you know, you just have to be very sensitive to these issues, and so.
Well, we want the tax base for sure.
Not only the tax base, we want the kids, but we've got to be sensitive to our community and what the needs are as well. I mean, we can't just pick and choose what development will go somewhere and what development will go elsewhere. And so, I think getting into these type of conversations, I think it is bluff, but I think having an agenda item and sending this out is the wrong message we're sending out to the community as well.
I think it would have been unconscionable for us personally, though, to have had a letter like this and just to put it in the drawer and said nothing to our community. That's not what we're about. We're about an open dialogue, and that's why I brought it forth. And Ms. Fritzi, I'd like to ask you, with the board's permission, if there's any people here, could we relax the rules? And if there are any, I don't know if anybody's here to speak or not, but possibly there's Garcia parents that would like to say something.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that because we actually asked them to come to this event, but I think that's misleading as well, but we could open it up to the public. I mean, if
okay, no problem.
Do we need a motion, Steve?
We'd have to suspend the rules and have additional.
On a motion, right? So I would make a motion to suspend the rules to allow the public to speak on behalf of this issue. Is there a second?
A second.
Sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Rutter.
There's a motion and a second to suspend the rules. Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
So are there any members of the community that
would like to... Any community members that would like to talk about this issue?
Yes, please.
If you could come up to the mic and...
Oh, well, I mean, I don't really need it. I would...
Yeah, it's just a formality.
You can get it
off
record, yeah.
Okay.
And can you please state your name, sir?
Hi, yes, my name is Anthony Quibido. You know, me and my wife, Nina, you know, we have six children, and, you know...
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You know, several of which, you know, we live right next to Garcia Elementary. Our children go to Garcia Elementary. And, you know, I'm just wondering, as parents and as members of the community and as people who this something like this would directly affect, I mean, like, what can we do about this, or what do we need to know, or what's the motion of it? You know, the council, the committee, what's our input on this? if any? Because you were saying how it is private property, it is private land, but we also need to be careful about what we're allowing, what we're not allowing. It's okay for Carefree to put a definitive homes addition down the street from there, but then we don't want low-income housing. I mean, there have been plenty of studies that show crime rates and the quality of schools and the overpopulation of schools and the quality of the education system. Good education systems that get low-income housing put in, I can't say always, but I know there are a lot of studies done that show those are the kind of places that turn into bad education systems. Because of the overburden to the school system, because of just, it's a strain on resources, and that's what I keep hearing is our resources, what we're allotting for resources, what resources we have, and we're talking about putting a lot of people into a school system that we're talking about, we need to just,
is it okay to respond?
Yes, we said absolutely.
I'm just making sure. And thank you, sir, for coming tonight. The only thing I would say is our community is made up a lot of demographics. By all means, short, tall, small, large, you name them. And we embrace them all. But I would say that the reason why we want to be transparent in this particular issue and any other issue regarding development in our communities, we welcome development, but measured development, just like what you're suggesting. I really think, this gentleman, Mr. Loya, is just pushing the button. And
I agree with you.
Yeah, what we need more of is what you're doing today. We need more involvement. We need people to go down to the County Housing Authority, because El Paso still has an influence on us. As much as we're in the county or whatever, yes, they have the ETJ. You're within the ETJ, so the rules still apply. So I would be a part of that discussion, and that's what I would welcome.
Right, which again, that's what I was asking, mm-hmm, is, I mean, how can myself as a citizen, as a member of the community, as a parent, mm-hmm, get involved in this more? Because, I mean,
the
that's what I
right
think.
This gentleman right here is probably our best resource. He's a government relations, and he is really the way we look at our city and our county and our state, even in federal. We're trying to put in a road in Celo Rubalcaba. I mean, he's really our point person because he knows the individuals that we need to talk to, or at least get in front of. Because we've had many a times where the government just stops working.
Yes.
And we don't want government to not work in this district.
I worked for the guys in the military for a really long time. I know all about that.
You feel me there. Perfect. So I do encourage it, but I would sort of look at it and get your neighbors involved. Get your neighbors involved, get people involved, get businesses involved, because unfortunately there are some individuals that would use, their influence or their, because he's landlocked right now. He is truly landlocked.
Oh yeah.
He'd have to build roads.
He'd have to put a road in.
So, but I really appreciate you coming here tonight. Yeah. Thank you so much. That was really
Mr. Rodriguez, you had a comment, sir?
Just in regards to that, first, thanks for coming out. In regards to the major issue, I think it was, so the process is, I believe it's in the ETJ, if there was to be a change within the zoning, there would have to be a change going to the CPC, then it would be, I mean, that's obviously public. Once it goes to the CPC, and depending on the change, there would be an actual notification to the members in the area. And then if a certain members of the community were to go against that, and it's a certain name in regards to that happened to the Walmart that was going to be built at the Chico's Tacos.
Yeah.
If there's a certain amount of members that actually go against it, then it has to go to the council, and then council could approve it, but it has to be a supermajority.
Get your neighbors together.
Don't quote me exactly on that process, but it's something
but
like that.
But it's almost exactly correct, Mr. Rodriguez. It's held a supermajority.
Right, you're a larger voice in a group than you are just
and
one individual.
Your PTA at your school, because all the other people there have an interest as well. That's why the notice was sent out. Maybe that, stir up a little action there that you know, voices would speak and ears would hear. What's your thoughts?
I do appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you,
thank
sir.
You, thank you, thank you for coming out.
Thanks for all six kids.
Board members, we do have a couple of parents that were here for agenda item before that did not know that they wanted to do, I mean, that they have to sign up for open forum, and we've opened it up to someone else, so now we're continuing to open up open forum.
Can we just
finish?
Focus on one?
Yeah, wrap up one and then start
and
the other.
Back up?
So okay. I guess it's
just procedure.
Anybody?
I'm so sorry. No, just give us a second. Yeah.
Good evening again. I live in the older part of Canutillo, which is considered the low income. I work at Canutillo Elementary, which our majority of our population is low income. We have two other districts, campuses in our district, Deanna Davenport and Bill Childers, that are considered low income. And I tend to disagree with this gentleman. A low income school or a population of low income does not justify a bad school. What justifies the school is the students that attend the school and the employees that make it a learning environment for all students. This district is about equality for all students. It does not matter your status, it's about equality. We are open to students of low income or high income or middle income. Those students are entitled to an education. And I really do not appreciate that a low-income student is going to make the school bad. That is not true. For clarity, is your discussion regarding potential acquisition of real property under the executive session the same property that you are regarding to under C as the 8-acre parcel of land?
Don't want to get into the discussion, but the answer to the question is yes.
It is the same. Thank you. So keep in mind that we are an equality district open to education for all students. Thank you.
Next, if anybody else want to speak regarding the 8 acres by Garcia?
I have a question as being
yes.
One, a resident, two, as principal.
Yes, ma'am.
Am I allowed to speak?
Sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on now. You got to do it in Spanish. I know, she's getting better.
Than everybody else.
Better than me.
Oh, we're talking about land and land. Vocabulary is not there for that yet. On behalf of the parents that I spoke with, there were quite a few that had concerns. Mr. Collins did, and rightfully so. They have a right to express concerns. I really appreciate the fact that a note did go out. If you're not familiar with the parents of Garcia, they're very vocal. So I appreciate them having the opportunity. They knew in advance, so that anybody, if they had questions or concerns, they would come forth. I think the flip side would be, if you didn't tell somebody, what are you hiding from? So first, I appreciate, thank you for the note, just to let people know what's happening. On the other side of the fence, and I'm speaking as a resident, coming to you, 615 La Union Avenue. As a former probation officer in a part of Dallas, Dr. Della Reese is aware, Pleasant Grove, when low-income housing was introduced, it wasn't the schools. The community that suffered. The crime rate in that particular community was the highest in Dallas County. I ended up being a probation officer in the community that I grew up in for that reason. It's not to say that low-income housing produces low-income or bad schools, because there are several schools in Dallas that were exemplary when STAR was in place that are top to now in low-income communities. However, we need to consider safety factors and what does that bring? We're within so many feet of a school. If I'm not mistaken, the law says sex offenders should not be within, I want to say it's 1,500 feet of a school.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that there are no sex offenders. If this happens, that doesn't happen, they don't come here. We do have a school to be concerned about, safety of students, and anybody else who's there. Just wanted to give my two cents. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Carter, for taking care
Thank
of our
you,
kids every day, too.
You're welcome.
Anyone else that would like to speak on that topic?
Good afternoon. I also am a parent of a student that goes to Garcia. I was very concerned when the letter was sent out. We didn't know anything about it. So I'm glad, you know, that the principal mentioned, I mean, what she just talked about was a big concern that I have, you know, with my daughter going to that school. And not harping on, you know, low-income people, that they're bad people or whatever. In my, you know, in my opinion, I don't want to have a low-income housing that close to where I live and to where my daughter goes to school for the same, you know, reasons that the principal just talked about. So I guess my question would be, I felt a little, that it was a little irresponsible to send that letter out simply because of what you mentioned, being, you know, what is it, a private sale. I guess the school didn't have a voice in, okay, what this private person does with his property. So I initially did feel, and that's why I came. I said, well, why send this out if the school has no voice in this man selling his property to whatever he wants to sell it to and whoever is going to build? But I guess I'm glad I came to this meeting, and I do want to know what can we do as parents to, you mentioned
yes.
He would be like a liaison or somebody that we would reach out. So I would like to have your contact to follow up on, you know, what goes on with this.
I'm so
family.
Sorry that I did that to Mr. You know, I didn't mean
yeah.
to put it up like that.
You put him on blast.
He is great because he's helped me. I'm trying to get the road extended to Isela de Mugagua. And he's been a great resource. He's kept me informed, and I think he can be a resource to the community as well.
Right.
So.
Thank you.
That's what I'm here for. I'd be happy to give my cards out to you.
Yes.
And
thank you. And thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Thank you
for
coming.
Thank you. Anyone else? So we're going to go back to the topic.
You want to close it and open it back up? Or?
We'll be closing discussion. We don't have to close it. We just switch the item. Okay, just switch to discussion regarding the CHS cheerleading program. We did have some comments from
Ms.
Yes, go ahead.
Good afternoon, board. I'm here to speak to thank the teachers or the sponsors, so you call them, that they've been helping our girls. But let's say, yes, are they doing ethically what they're supposed to do? I say yes. Let's look at the problem behind what it is. Let's see, why are the teachers resigning? Why aren't we looking at that? Why, us as parents, I never know what's going on. I know I heard you guys, the board say, the parents complain. Well, let's look at the parents' complaints. I mean, is education about complaining and about the parents or the girls running the program? Because really the sponsors should be teaching these girls. So why are we complaining so much? And I'm saying this because my daughter comes every day saying, they're always beating on the coach. And I think that's one of them, because the coach wants the best. Well, as education, don't we want the best? So let's thank our teachers for showing that we care too, not only the students, because not always either the student or the teacher's right, but how is it that there are four coaches or three coaches already? I'm not sure. So my question is, what's going on with the coaches? Why are they resigning? And that's for the board.
And I think that goes back to the administration. They need to have that answer for us, because obviously it's a concern. I hear it every time I go drop off my dry cleaning and whatnot. It's a big concern, and I can't answer that honestly. because I don't have the answers. And
as a parent, we should be answering that, because we should be caring for our kids, teaching them to be better, not to be complaining and saying, let's lower our standards. I mean, I'm sorry, that's mediocrity. I agree with you. It is.
And we lay that at Dr. Galavis's feet.
I had more time, I just got a text to be here because of the doing the low income. Of course, I'm concerned about that too. But it got me onto cheer because my daughter's been hurting. She never complains. But she does tell us, Mom, this is not right. Why do they tell us? I mean, if I got to be that low, I would not want to work either. But I see as you being their higher up, comfort those teachers. Tell them thank you, and maybe they should stay, not just quit. Because what are we telling our kids to quit? Many cheerleaders quit, but the truth of it, is it because the teachers, the coaches put a higher standard and they can't take it? Well, maybe that's how it's supposed to be, so they could learn. And that's why I'm here. And I'm speaking for my daughter. Right now she had a game, she couldn't be here. And I do want to thank those coaches. And I'm sorry they quit. And one of them did write a letter of apology, but ethically, it was wrong. Everybody else was telling them, I would say parents, it's wrong ethically to run something that's not ours. Let them, we're supposed to put that trust on their coaches, our sponsors, and on you guys to care for them. But at the same time, yes, I do believe caring for our children, what's right. But have I heard anything that gone against whatever that's unethical from the coaches? No, I have not heard anything. That's what I wanted to let you guys know.
Thank you for telling us that. And thank you for coming on both issues. It matters a lot.
It does, because, I mean, I moved to El Paso for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we lived in different parts of the United States. And I'm sorry, it's different. El Paso's different. It's way different. It's different.
That's an understatement.
And another thing, I mean, I don't want to complain. I can pull a filibuster and say that so much stuff I seen and heard, but no, I want to thank those coaches. And if she is willing to come back or whoever, just be there for them, because it's not right, because it's breaking that coach or sponsor. I'm pretty sure it is.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you for coming to CanUTO with your kids.
Ms. Messing.
Good evening, Board President, Superintendent, and all board members. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to speak. The reason I did not speak in open forum is that I wanted to hear what Ms. Clapsaddle had to present. I'm here as a parent. I'm here on behalf of my daughter. It's been really a misfortune when our cheer program has had to go through and endure this year. We've lost so many coaches, but no program will ever have a parent and a coach fully agree on everything that they do. The issues that we have had is because we have had to have some parents that speak louder than others, and they don't follow the chain of commands, and maybe they do, and they go above. And like this lady said, there's a lot of complaints, but the rest of us don't hear the complaints that are going on. All of a sudden, we hear that we've lost our sponsor. Never have we been told as parents, pulled together, you lost your sponsor, this is why, this is what we're going to do is to fix it. My daughter last night, when she got home that lost her sponsor, I asked them, how did it go? Well, we told we don't have a sponsor, but they said keep practicing, like if nothing happens. These children have feelings. They feel that they are the ones that are doing something wrong. They feel that they, as though they've lost the trust of these people. At one point in time, these sponsors have cared for our children. What has happened to break them down, I don't know. But we were grateful with what we had, because without our sponsors, we wouldn't have had our cheer team. Without a cheer team, we don't have the spirit, the front end of the school. And that's what we forget to see. These girls need to be supported. They need to have the support of the parents, support of administration, and I'm here to ask for support of the board. We cannot have a national winning competition team without funding, without help. The girls practice in the cafeteria. That's not a safe environment. We don't have proper mats for them to practice on. They're using wrestling mats that we've had to pull together. But we as parents have to advocate to get that done for them. We look at all the other school districts in the area, and they have cheerleading since elementary, and they raise them to, so when they get to high school, they're ready to compete. They're ready to tumble. We spend a lot of money out of our pocket for our uniforms, and to still take out money to pay for tumbling, that's another expense that we may or may not have, but we make those sacrifices. So if we can please look at what our girls need in order to get to the next level. And we need to, I'm asking that we come together because we need to be able to support each other. That way, whatever coach we get, I ask that it's somebody with experience, somebody that has the experience not only as a coach, but that can lead our girls to the next level. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Ms. Cortez?
Good evening, Board President, Board Trustees, and Dr. Galaviz. My name is Jacqueline Cortez. I am the captain of the Carampio High School Cheerleading Squad. I have been here for 4 years. I've done cheerleading all 4 years. I am a senior. I came to address the problems that obviously we've been having. Yesterday, I did get the news throughout the day that our sponsor was no longer with us, and I agree with the parents who have spoken before me. While I have been here, I have been through 6 different coaches, and I've never complained, and I've never, you know, come to one of these meetings because I'm not one to complain. You know, if something comes up, it is what it is, and you have to go through it. But I feel that enough is enough, and I am missing the playoff game right now because I do feel that it's necessary for me to be here because I want you all to notice that you all have to pay attention to us. We don't. We have gone through 6 coaches while I've been here, and 4 throughout this year. We have lost a lot of cheerleaders for many reasons as well. I feel like this needs to be addressed, and I feel that we don't have a lot of options. We don't have a line waiting for to be coached for this team because we do have parents complaining. And I never wanted to accuse you, Dr. Galaviz, of not speaking to me but to the girls. Because it's true, no one comes to us and says, you know, what's going on? What do you guys think about these new coaches? I know we don't have a lot of options, and I understand that, and that's why I don't complain. But I feel like it's time. 6 coaches, I feel like it's enough. 4 in 1 year, and I want it to be addressed. No one comes to us and says, you know, what needs to be done. No one pays attention to us. And as you all have said, you know, cheerleaders are a big part of the squad, of the school, I'm sorry. And I feel like it needs to be addressed. I myself am tired, and I have been the only one who has stuck around for all my 4 years. So I've known every single coach. And this year was the time that I actually formed a bond with my coach. And I feel that it is not fair that, you know, she did resign, and I know and I feel that she had no other choice. And I support her, and I'm here because not only am I defending her, but I'm defending the girls. We've been through a lot, and a lot of them that are still here I appreciate because no one has left me, and I love working with the girls. I love working with them because they want to be here, because they want to learn new things. And it's not fair that we have coach after coach taken off, and no one says, hey, what's going on? No one, oh, it's just another coach. It's just like one of the parents said, oh, it's no big deal. Nothing is addressed. And I know we don't have a lot of options, but I feel like it's only right that we have someone who is committed, who wants to be here. I feel like the coaches we've had throughout the years, they don't have the choice, and some of them we shouldn't even have because they don't pay attention to us as well. And I feel it's about time that something is done. I don't think that we should have even gone through 4 in 1 year, 6 in my 4 years. Something needs to be done, and I don't speak for myself, but I speak for all of the girls. This is a bear, and I just wanted to address that, and I appreciate you guys putting us back in here and letting us speak, but I just wanted to address that. I hope you listen to my concerns, and it's not just coming from me. I would not miss any game, but I feel like it is supportive to be here, and I would appreciate if you would take my concerns and not only mine, the parents and the students. Thank you.
There's a lot of concerns, you know, and I am very pleased that Ms. Clausado always has an open door policy to us. I think that the number one step, and if we really want to, this is just my suggestion, if we really want this to work, is we need to allow the coaches to be coaches. We need to stop coming to Dr. Galaviz, we need to stop coming to the board, we need to stop coming to Ms. Clausado. It needs to go with our coach. That's just my suggestion. And they need to follow the chain of command, because if Mr. Medina goes and does, picks up his dry cleaning, and then he hears something, and then I bump into Ms. Quintana and I say something to Ms. Quintana. You know what? If we were just to start from the beginning and respect our coaches, give them the trust, I think that would be the number one thing. And that's just my suggestion. I've talked to other people. I've worked with a lot of coaches, not just because my daughter's a cheerleader at high school, but since she was in Pee-wee, I coached cheerleading myself, and I know how hard it is. I work with Coach Arroyo, Coach Arteaga, Coach Peña, Coach Martinez, Coach Summers, and they all have their qualities, and I don't agree with all of them, but I support every single one of them. I've talked to Coach Arteaga, and I said, hey, why don't you take the girls back? And she says, I'm willing to. I want to, because I've seen this girl suffer. I've seen what they've gone through. And she showed me everything. She's excited. She wants to come aboard. And then I talked to Coach Summers. I said, Coach Summers, are you willing to come back? And she's right now, you know, she's trying to go through her decision. But they love these girls. They do love these girls. We just, I think us as parents, we made it a little hard on them. My suggestion for coaching is, let's put our trust in our principal. Let's put our trust in our superintendent. Let's let them pick our coach based on their experience. And you cannot hear all the parents. It's impossible. I want the best one for my daughter, and she might want the best one for her daughter. You know, let's put the trust on them. That's just my suggestion as a parent. And please, please pick someone that I can trust to take my daughter to a trip in, I don't know, wherever they go this year. I think they're thinking of going to Austin. If I can't go because I can't afford it or whatever reason, I want to be able to say, this lady is responsible enough to take 22 girls to Austin. I need to be able to go to sleep that night. I am a very paranoid mother, and I go everywhere. My husband is with my daughter at the gate. My daughter's not alone right now. And my son is here with me. But I... please, whatever decision you guys make, I just ask that you guys support our principal and our superintendent with this decision, and that you guys please pick someone that is ready to take on this challenge so we don't go through this again. And as Booster, the only thing that I want to say is please give us the opportunity to, the same as the other boosters to fundraise. You know, sometimes we get a little, we can't sell this because a baseball booster, they've been doing it for years. Well, you know, now we have a cheer booster. Can we have that opportunity, please? Can we have the downstairs concession center in JV Games? My husband runs a football booster, and sometimes I tell him, how come you guys get all the concessions and we don't get nothing? Oh, we always had it. You know, but please give us that opportunity. That's all we ask for.
That was been a good discussion.
Well, thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Good evening, members of the board, Dr. Lavis, President Fritzy, and thank you for placing the Gunnethill High School Cheerleading Program on your agenda for open discussion. I just want to thank the other cheer parents for appearing tonight at tonight's meeting, and I do want to say it's unfortunate that our cheer captain has had to miss her senior year by district game, but thank you and her mom for being here to support our program. My name is Monica Baeza. I am the secretary of the Gunnethill High School Cheer Boosters and a member of this community. I come before you in my own capacity as cheer booster and as a cheer parent. I speak on my own behalf, and I would like to respectfully address the board on specific issues that have affected the cheer program at Gunnethill High School. I was a new parent of Gunnethill High School in 2014 when I transferred my daughter from EPISD. My daughter is a veteran cheerleader coming to Gunnethill High School, having been a middle school cheer captain for 2 years. My daughter joined the competition cheer squad initially when the Gunnethill cheer program began to fall apart. In the 1 year that I have been an active parent as a cheer booster, we have gone through what now has risen to 5 cheer coaches. This is an overwhelming change of leadership and a lot of instability. We are happy with this program. However, I come to you with a request that you please assist this organization in maintaining positive leadership and stability to our cheer program so that we may have a great experience and begin to move our program onward. This program's main focus for the past year has been everything but cheer. Our vision of this cheer squad is for our cheerleaders to be the best cheerleaders to their ability. I have observed that Gunnethill cheerleaders have great potential and great leadership. It would be a great accomplishment if we could participate in local, novice, and perhaps regional and national cheer competitions in the future. That is why Claudia Riola, Gunnethill cheer booster president, formed this booster organization so as to raise funds and raise parent involvement towards making this possible. As a veteran cheer mom of over 10 years, it is my observation and it is solely my opinion that we are not at a competitive level at this time. We are currently in the midst of competition season and we have not had sufficient adequate training as a squad to enter into a competitive level. I attribute this to the instability and constant and continuous changing of leadership in our squad. We thank Dr. Galaviz, Ms. Clapsaddle, and the Board of Trustees for your efforts in attempting to secure a good candidate to lead this organization. However, it has been hit and miss 5 times. We as parents invest time and money and commit ourselves and our children to this school activity in hopes that we can all have a positive school experience and great memories. This turnover has been discouraging to us as parents, and I am sure more so to our cheerleaders and our cheer captain, as you can see that she is here. I do want to thank Ms. Summers, who stepped up to the plate to sponsor this squad when it was in need, and I am sorry that, again, this did not work out. But now I come to you, and I want to suggest to the board and recommend that Coach Jackie Zuniga, who has been the cheer coach for the past year, to be named as the exclusive cheer coach of Gunnethill High School, to head the cheer program in a positive direction and bring this cheer program to the next level, which is long overdue. Although some would like to raise various arguments and criticisms regarding the coaching of our cheer squad and or our Coach Jackie, Many few have offered solutions or assistance. This has become a thankless chore to be a cheer coach, and frankly, it has hurt our students and our school spirit. It feels as if cheerleading is frowned upon amongst our school community and has brought upon negativity. I believe that Coach Jackie is able to give this program the undivided attention and care and make a genuine and conscientious effort to turn this program around as it so deserves. She exemplifies cheerleading as a sport, and she has already brought new and fresh ideas and traditions to the squad. She is academically driven, and most importantly, she has the passion for the sport and the school. I believe that she is able to prepare the squad for competition readiness and can carry out quality and exercise the discipline that is required and necessary. Coach Jackie has been consistent and the only stability this cheer squad has had for the past year, while all of the others have come and gone. Taking into account that our sports program has entered into a 2-5A division, it would be ideal that our cheerleaders be brought up to the same standard. Carotillo cheerleaders will be exposed to experienced competitive cheerleaders from 2-5A schools who will not intimidate us. I am confident that with Coach Zuniga's coaching skills and abilities and her coaching ethic, we can shine as bright as our sports program. With the support of the board, parents, and our boosters, and the turmoil that our cheer program has endured, I believe that it is fair to request that we move forward with a coach who is loyal and dedicated to this program and has a positive and direct communication with all and is ultimately mindful of our cheerleaders. Coach Jackie possesses these skills, and I believe that she can achieve and uphold the expectation and dignity that a cheer program should have. It is time to praise and boost the Carotillo cheer morale and thrive. I hope you can echo my sentiment when I say it is about time. Again, we respectfully plead to Dr. Balavis, Ms. Clapsaddle, and to this Board of Trustees to please support our needs, help us provide stability and positivity to our cheerleading at Carotillo High School. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Board President, Board Members, Dr. Calabrese. My name is Maria Cortez. I am the mother of Jacqueline Cortez, which is a cheer captain. She has been doing this for 4 years, and it has been a struggle to see her go through so many coaches. I agree with the parents that say Dr. Calabrese should help, and we should help our principal at the high school to decide. But it is not for us to decide and to give out names of people that we think deserve that position. That position has to come from a person who has the experience, who has been there for our children, the commitment to be there and cry with our daughters because they cry, because they struggle, because they seem to feel that they're alone at moments because there is no one there for them. As parents, we can only do so much. But we need someone that is going to be there for our daughters. My daughter is a senior, so she'll be gone in May, and she won't have to deal with this. But you know what? She wants something better for that squad. She wants someone to be there for them, to take them to different competitions, because they deserve that. You know, they need someone with the commitment, the loyalty to be there. Not only because they want to volunteer, and they do it every so often, and if something happens, okay. You know, they need someone who's going to be there, who's going to advise them, you know what, we can't do this, I'm not able to be there, but, you know, we have a captain that can go ahead and help our daughters. You know, someone that is going to, you know, be present and, you know what's going on. My daughter was there at games where there was no one there to support her because they didn't know what was going on because during the week they had practice and no one was there. You know, and sometimes she wouldn't know if someone was going to show up. We need someone who has the commitment, who has the experience, not only for a year or two, someone who's going to be there, responsible adult to be there and guide them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
consent agenda. Administration recommends approval as presented.
I so move.
I second.
There is a motion and a second?
Yes.
Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Consent agenda passes. Item 6, new business. Discussion and recommendation regarding the Mountain View High School auditorium upgrades.
Thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you and good evening.
But we also, good evening, Madam President and Board Trustees and Dr. Galavis, excuse my voice.
That's okay.
I'm under the weather here. Yes, we provided you all the information. We do have a few updates. Mr. Martinez will address those.
Good evening. Pursuant to our last discussion on the subject matter at the committee meeting earlier this month, we prepared a little spreadsheet for you, arranging the requested improvements in three different categories. The yellow highlighted items, numbered 1 through 3, are items that we are recommending that we proceed with. It's approximately $2,600 in materials and supplies. It's approximately 1 week's worth of personnel man hours.
That's the in-house repair.
Right, to complete the work. And we're prepared to proceed with that work.
Okay.
If I might, Mr. Semedini, the new facility manager for the school district, prepared these estimates for us. And if I might just take a brief second, have him stand, please. And he, I don't think the board has met him yet. Mr. Eusebio Semedini. The second category, highlighted in green, are items that we've already completed, that our maintenance crews have already completed. And of course, that includes the ordering of the state curtains, which I believe are
still
to suspect that they be delivered and then installed.
Yes, and they've already been ordered, so they should be here.
And the third category on the second page are items that we would recommend. Number one, either be incorporated into the next fiscal year's operating budget, or alternatively deferred into the facility master plan wish list. I think our $70+ million of improvements. This could be again deferred into that category.
There was a question regarding the audio. I think we discussed it last time. We had paid a certain amount to repair it. And It didn't seem as if it's been fixed, whether they had the mics, the area mics. I think it was addressed last time. Did you talk about that?
Yes. I reached out to HB Electronics. Mm-hmm. The warranty has expired.
The warranty has expired?
Yes.
But it wasn't part of the work, the scope of work to actually provide a solution. Outside, this isn't a warranty. This is a delivery of a service.
So what I've asked is for them to come out and look at it and see what how they can help us fix it, and we could probably come back to the cost estimate.
Yeah, because I think that's the concern, is they didn't deliver the quality product that we expected, and this isn't a warranty.
And the paperwork I looked at before was not able to locate it, so
Well, we did obviously pay for a particular solution.
We asked them to provide us that documentation. Okay. We do have it on record, and we were also going to be researching.
Great. Exactly. That was the only question that I really had on that one. As far as the possible items, we will put them in and see if we can either discuss them at the facilities master plan level or at the budget level. But thank you. It's good to have, you know, sort of work in progress for that facility. Any questions for the board?
Mr. Medina, do we need to take any action? It's only for $2,572. My personal opinion is I think we ought to give it $3,000.
And the reason we brought it is because of the aggregate. We want to make sure we're transparent and you're aware.
Yes.
So what are we, the 25 is what to do what?
The 2572 is for the yellow items, the backstage install, those lights.
That's all in-house. We don't have to...
The materials. The 2572 is materials.
It's under the $10.
Is that the issue?
Yes. Because we're running. It's an entire project. The auditorium itself is an entire project.
Who's actually doing the project?
If they figure they're going to exceed the $10,000 purchasing threshold, we all can go ahead and approve.
Madam Chair, I move to approve $3,000.
Hold on, Mr. Rodriguez, I'm so sorry, but Mr. Rodriguez had a comment.
I'm sorry.
It's an aggregate of $10,000 with what?
The curtains.
Curtains are $38,000.
You've already approved the curtains, but these additional parking would probably go way beyond the 25% that's allowable under the policy. TEA has a policy when you've approved a certain amount, which is a 38, we're obviously going to go above 25%.
So we're giving it to the same vendor?
No, sir. Various vendors. This is what we're working with, Mr.
For the
stage
crews?
The $2,500 is for purchase of materials, and there are several vendors involved. I don't have a list with me.
No, but it's not. What we're concerned about is this sole source issue. You know, we've always gone to that. I think that's what Mr. Rodriguez was question was. That correct?
Sole source issues.
For the most part, we go through Ms. Campbell, and we go to Region 19 Co-op or PCN. You know, those types of pre-approved vendors. Typically.
For example, with carpeting, we already have a vendor that has provided us a quote, and they're actually on Region 19. That quote came in at 9,000 plus. So obviously with the whole aggregate, you're gonna go above not only the 10,000, but also 25%, which is allowable under the TVA guidelines.
No, I understand that. Yes. I mean, but the reason is, so we're going over that 10,000 threshold with that one vendor from Region 19.
Possibly.
And so,
yes.
The question is, where do we get the 10,000 then? It's coming from where?
That we were asked to provide this list because this, I think you had even mentioned it in the last meeting that you wanted this as budget priorities. I identified as budget priorities. This is why we prepared this list for you. So you could at least have this before you and know what exactly we have in hand.
I guess the major concern I have is, you know, we're not budgeting items. There's other programs and other areas of, let's say, the band room that might need, you know, a new form, and we're setting precedents. I guess my understanding from the committee meeting, if it was in-house and if it was under the 10,000 and it was within budget, I had no problem. And now we're going above and beyond that.
Right. So that is, you asked us to get a quote to include.
Yeah, well, what we wanted to do was look at what the cost was in the long term, so that way we could say, okay, this needs to go within the budget.
I know you're sick.
Yeah,
and I apologize too.
Keep asking questions and
discussing, because what we did exactly what the board wanted.
Yes.
We the board wanted curtains. The board wanted the front panel fixed before that we met, and the ghost lights was a safety security issue.
Yes.
So we prioritized it to safety, security, and let the board already pick. So, and on the second page are things that we think have to wait for next year. And we could vote the budget priorities and put it in the budget.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally understand it.
So,
I am on
board. I call that being used strain.
Yeah, it's starting to hurt me.
Yeah.
But we'll bring it back. Is that what you're proposing?
No.
Okay. I move to approve $3,000. Is that what you need? $3,000 to upgrade the stage so it's ready for the UIL performance in April.
Second.
We
have a motion and a second. Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
No.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Think it'll be done by Shotash?
We've got, like I say, at the most, I think, 1 week's worth of man hours to complete the work. Purchasing?
Yeah.
We'll move as quickly as we can.
Thank you very much. I hope you feel better, Mrs.
Feel better.
Thank you. I still have another item.
Hope you have a cough drop.
Item 6B. Discussion and recommendation regarding the purchase of iPads, MacBook Pro, iPad minis, and iMac for CHS KIA.
Second.
Approved. Which is the...
We have a motion and a second?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item 7. It is 8:10. Immediate superior in the case of settlement called section 551.072. A discussion regarding the potential acquisition of real property.
That hurt.
Did you do that all the time?